Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! You know what to do? You just go ahead and do it.
Come on.
He's here.
He's here. Yes, he is indeed. Oh. He's coming present. He's here.
It's a good, good Father to show up like this and just let us enjoy it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God. I just love the Lord.
I praise you. Oh, you're so good.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we like everything going well before we praise God. We like everything in order and everything happening that we've asked for, and then we'll get up and we'll praise Him. Sometimes it don't work like that. Sometimes we have to have the Habakkuk. Is that what, how you pronounce it? Habakkuk or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes we have to go like the Habakkuk, the 3rd chapter, the 17th verse. Says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of olives should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet will I exalt the Lord.
Yes,
man. Woo!
Yes! Will I worship Him?
Yeah.
Will I praise Him?
Yeah.
It's hard to praise Him when there ain't no state.
Yeah.
He said, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and made me to walk in high places.
Yeah.
Amen. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He'll put you to the high spot. No matter what you're going through, no matter what problem is in your way, all you got to do is learn to praise Him through the storm.
Woo!
That's a tough thing to do. So sometimes we need to go back to Habakkuk, whatever you call that. Go back to that 3rd chapter and sometimes just read it. And say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to worship you anyway. Because you understand, it's as I preach Wednesday night, that's what we're here for.
Yes.
We can go, we can get all the reasons why.
Come on.
And every church has them. And every preacher has them. And every church member has them. All the reasons why I should get blessed.
Come on, brother, come on. Woo.
But there's no reason that I should get blessed. But there's every reason why I should bless Him.
Yes. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because you're put here to minister to Him first.
Yes, amen.
And we're priests.
That's right.
Priest is a tent, is a keeper of the tent.
That's good, come on.
What that is a keeper of the introducing place or the meeting place where God meets man. All you're to do is to set up visitations from God. That's all our job is. And if we're doing that, then that's what we're being priests. And that's what He called us to be. Amen? So how many have been priesthood in this week?
Come on now.
Amen. You be carrying it out to the street.
Yes.
to Walmart, to your job, to wherever you go. You've been just keeping the tent. You've been just putting it up. You've been inviting people to meet Jesus. Because that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
He said, I want a kingdom of priests. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. I want us to look tonight. We're going to go a little further in the Elisha walk, in the Elisha principle. I want to talk just a few minutes. Sometimes we get into a rut. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now I want you to notice that word Gilgal right there. And Elijah said unto Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself lives, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. I want to just talk to us just for a minute on from Gilgal to the Father's house. From Gilgal to the Father's house. Sometimes we like to stick in Gilgal. We like to get stuck. How many knows that God's people can get in a rut?
Yes, amen.
Oh no, we're Holy Ghost filled. We're
help us, Lord.
Amen. We don't get in ruts, Pastor. So I want you to understand, after he found Elisha, but before his whirlwind ride to heaven, Elijah makes his final rounds to the places where he established ministry. He and Elisha started to wrap up at Gilgal, a place that has great significance in the redemptive history of Israel, also has meaning for our own redemptive history as well. I want you to understand that Gilgal in Joshua 4, Gilgal means the circle of stones. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? In Joshua, the 4th chapter, the nation of Israel set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River, and then they set out 12 stones on the bank. There's that 12 again. And on the dry land as a memorial to the Lord. Now I want you to understand here, it was at Gilgal, these stones would remind future generations that the Lord has enabled Israel to cross on dry ground, and he has rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Do you understand that Gilgal is where that the Lord instructed Joshua to circumcise all the males that were born in the wilderness in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2. The circumcision is a symbol of covenant relationship with God. So what that did is get rid of the old and put on the new. It's a symbol, an outward symbol of taking part in God's divine covenant. And so what they actually did, this is why he says, circumcise your hearts in the New Testament, where he talks about every time he mentions circumcision, Paul mentions it in several other places. So Jesus is telling us that his covenant is to, and I believe it's in Genesis chapter 17 where he talks about the covenant of circumcision to Abraham, and he shares this covenant that the uncircumcised are not going to be part of God's kingdom and God's presence. They're not going to be able to enter in if they don't have circumcision. So this is why Joshua, at the end of, right before entering the promised land, they had to forsake the old and take on the new. They were saying, we have got to enter into God's divine covenant before we walk in and claim our land.
Amen.
So you understand tonight is that God is saying to the church that he wants us not to stay or hang out in that relationship, but to move through it. You know, we get so stuck that we want to remain where God has said you're just passing through, right? So circumcision was an initiation rite into the covenant. So the community of Israel, every time they fulfilled this covenant, they were saying, we want to be part of you, God. Because it hurt to do it. It causes some pain. Jesus went through all of our pain for us.
Amen.
Jesus took more pain than these guys at Gilgal felt.
Yeah, yeah.
And you understand that he took all of their pain.
Right.
All of their struggle. So Paul tells us in Colossians 2 and 11, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is a glorious truth today that we are now not required to do the circumcision in the natural, but we're required to do it spiritually. So it's our spiritual new birth experience is what Gilgal represents. A new start. A new birth. So this, when we receive the embrace and embrace the sacrifice of Christ by faith, we automatically enter into the provisions of his new covenant. We end with Christ the mediator. So Christ is the mediator of the better covenant than the Old Testament covenant, which we talked about a few Wednesday nights ago on that one is a ministry of death. Because everybody that come in contact with it died. But we got a new covenant at Gilgal. A new covenant. So through Christ, we received an eternal inheritance. Now the blessings of this covenant that we got here were not valid until after his death. He had to die before it would be just like today. You don't receive your inheritance until your family member or her parent or whatever dies. And then you get what's coming to you. You get the inheritance. Well, Jesus Christ died and left us the inheritance. And then he comes back from the grave and said, I'm going to join up with you now. And we're going to just join up and inherit this together.
Amen.
That's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. So you've got the best of both worlds there. You got the inheritance and you got Christ living with you. And you're joint heirs with him. And now you are one.
Amen.
Oh, I don't know if y'all got that.
Yes.
How big is that? How big is that? Nobody likes to lose their loved one and just to get what their money they got in the bank. And so we got the best of both because Christ left us his whole bank account. Right? And he's arisen to live with us, to enjoy it. So he's not just died and left us. He died. Come back from the grave, took the keys of death, hell in the grave, stomped the bottom out of the grave, if you please, and just left it wide open.
Amen.
For the church to just pass on through.
Yes.
Amen. And so that's good, right? So moving on. By the circumcision of Christ, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into a marvelous light. So guess what? We are expecting, and we are, and you say, man, this is, we know this stuff. I just want to share with you because we know it, but we get stuck in it. Amen? Mm-hmm. The pain of circumcision experienced by the sons of Israel at Gilgal as initiation of the old covenant is nothing compared to what Christ suffered, and it was there that our sins were exchanged for his righteousness.
Amen.
You've laid off the old and took on the new. How many remembers that old song, The Two Coats? I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I put off the old coat and took on the new. Something like that. But the circumcision of our hearts occurs at the moment that we repent and accept him as our Savior. And then we begin to see the old things fall off. And it should be all things become new. But you know why the church hasn't enjoyed the freedom of salvation is because they don't understand the depth of the Gilgal experience.
Come on, brother.
So we're sticking around trying to figure it out, and we get caught up not moving any further because we're stuck in something that we don't quite understand.
Yes. Come on.
Oh, yeah. The circumcision of our hearts begins the moment of repentance. This is our new beginning. We confess our sinfulness to Christ and accept his substitutionary death. And then we are born at the of the Spirit. So guess what? We are spiritual at Gilgal. And some of us are saved, but we're living in the flesh. It was a spiritual start at Gilgal. Gilgal was beginning the beginning level of his testing. And guess what? If you don't think you're going to be tested, you probably better pack your bags and go home now. No, I'm not being rude. I'm just saying, if you thought that this Christian experience was a
cakewalk,
yeah, that's a good one. Some people think that, oh, I'm saved. I get, he gives, yeah, he does. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent. Not only repent, but that word repent doesn't mean come down here and hang over the altar for 2 hours. Repentance can happen in a second. It's when your mind switches from I am this till I am this.
Yes.
Yeah. I was that, but now I am this.
Yeah.
We got this thing that we call, that the church has used, and it's, and I got in trouble for saying this a few months ago, but I'm going to say it again. I don't know if that guy's here that got me, but he sent me about 100 emails. But this is what I said. That the church has used this thing, and it has become their alibi. I am a sinner saved by grace. Which are you? A sinner? Are you saved by grace? You can't be both.
Come on, brother.
I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. I am not a sinner, because if I say I'm a sinner, that means I continually sin.
Come on.
I know our mindset, oh, that's not what I'm thinking, but that's what you're saying. So I stop using that phrase because it isn't scriptural.
Yes, come on, brother.
Because it's just a phrase.
Yes.
I was a sinner, but now I'm a saint of God.
Yes.
I'm saved by grace. So repent is when you change what you were and become something totally different.
Yes, amen, brother.
If I'm saved by grace, I can't be a continual sinner. Does that mean I don't sin? Hey, that does mean that I sin sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes I mess up, but I don't hang out there.
Come on. Come on.
I don't hang with that.
Amen.
I don't keep on messing up. I get out of it and I walk away from it.
Yes.
And that is repent. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then it says, and now show it openly. Be baptized.
Amen.
You can be saved, and if you haven't been baptized, well, I was years ago. In Revelation, it said, go back and do your first works over. Sometime you have to renew it.
Amen.
I've been saved since 1982. I was 13 years old when I got saved. But you know, about six, seven years ago, I think it was, one day we were having a baptizing at Chewy, and God said, you need to go back down again.
Ooh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
I'm the pastor here. What you talking about? Uh-huh. He said, but it's going to make it. And you know what? Down in that Illinois River, had my board members help me out. And man, when I come up, it was something changed.
Yeah.
You know what? Because it had got old.
Yeah.
It got normal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was baptized in a hog pond.
Come on.
Ain't no joke. Big plate in it. And it was muddy and it was nasty.
Come on.
It was worse than Jordan ever thought about being. But let me tell you something. I remember that day and I got baptized in that muddy, nasty pond down there in CrossFit, Arkansas. But every time I think about my baptism, I don't go back to Crossett. I go back to Chewy, Oklahoma, where in the Rimoy River, where I come out with a brand new determination and a brand new zeal of, yes, I've been saved. I've been blood bought, but I renewed the experience. So sometimes you just got to let the devil know, hey, I'm going back down, and I'm coming back up. The Greek word means to baptize, means to immerse or submerge, to make overwhelmed or fully wet. You know what? I came up overwhelmed.
Yes, amen.
By his glory. I'm not saying you have to do that.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, I had to.
Come on.
It worked.
Amen.
It was a renewal.
Amen.
That I had to have. I wasn't getting nowhere with it. I was like, Lord? I've become stagnant. I felt over, burdened. I felt, because I've been through some battles since that 1982. I've been through some frustrations.
Amen.
So every now and then, you got to go back and renew the moment.
Yeah.
Relive the moment. Don't you? All
right.
You're in Christ.
Right.
All things have become new. So I just wanted to share that with you. In the book of Acts, the people who were baptized were those who had first encountered the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and confession.
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad? So for Elisha, Gilgal was the beginning level of what he was about to go through. He was in the last stages of getting his blessing. The church is in the stages of getting their blessing. But so many times we don't want to go further than that revolutionary mind change of repent and be baptized. We're stuck there. That's all we know. That's all we want. I'm saved. I'm sanctified.
Come on. Amen.
Uh-huh. Give me that old time religion.
Yeah.
If it was good for mom and papa, it's good enough for me. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You need more than they got, because the devil is getting more stuff out after his church than ever before, because his time is short. So what worked for mom and pop won't work in this generation. Uh-oh.
Come on,
brother. And them old people stayed and they tarried and they prayed.
Yeah.
They hit the prayer rooms when they came into the building instead of the gossip rooms.
Come on.
They hit their knees at the altar and they stayed there until something happened.
Yes, amen.
Oh, they weren't drawing dust.
Glory to God.
They were kicking up dust. And some of us need to kick up some dust on the way to the promised land.
Yes, we do.
Because the enemy is behind us.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let him smell my dust.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh,
amen?
Yeah.
I'm not waiting on him to catch me up with me. I'm moving.
Yeah.
Some church members are just waiting on the enemy to catch up to them. But if Elisha had ever stopped, he would have never, never, ever got his double portion.
Amen.
Following any move of God, large numbers of people enter a Gilgal experience. They get saved. They get delivered. We got a bunch right here that you just encountered Gilgal, and you're like, whopping, man, I'm excited.
Yes. Amen.
You're booming. Hey, don't hang out there. Move on. It's good. You like to, because there's nothing like salvation experience.
Amen.
There's nothing makes you as happy as being saved, blood bought, and it shouldn't be.
Amen.
But too many who have come to Christ have not fully understood the Gilgal experience and have never progressed beyond that point. They've never understood it. They're trying to still fathom, who am I?
Come on.
Who? Do you know we've had church members that sit in churches for 50 years that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Come on.
They don't even want it. They're not even concerned because they don't have it. And we're living in a generation that unless we have His Holy Spirit experience, Jesus said, go tarry in Jerusalem so that you may be endued with power from on high. That word endued, it means clothed. You may be clothed. You may have some more help. You may have some helpers with you. You may have the help with you. So they testified how God saved them. But what did He save them from? What, they understand what He saved them from, but what did He save them for?
Yes.
We're all excited about what He saved us from, but I'm more excited about what He saved me from.
Yeah.
Hey, He saved the best for last.
Yes, He did.
Why? Why did He save you? Why did, will He ever look down here and say, boy, I'm sorry I saved that kid. He ain't done nothing for me. I wish I'd have given his to somebody else.
Come on.
Come on, imagine that. What did He say about Christian Worship Center? I'm so sad that I sent my Holy Ghost in that place, sent my power in there, gave them all the healings and miracles that they have seen, and they ain't doing nothing about it. I apologize to Adair County for giving it to this church. What if that would happen?
Yeah. Hope it never does.
Proverbs 29:19 says, where there is no vision,
that's right,
the people perish.
Amen.
But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What is that law? The one that's inside your heart. The one that He's put in you. I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. We like the King James better. It makes us feel a little better. It doesn't quite be as rude. Come on. Now I know why some of the King James people stick with the Bible. I read this verse and I said, stick with the Bible. But when you look these words up, that's what they mean. Oh, that's harsh, isn't it, brother? Salvation is more than just being saved, healed, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that's just the first experience. That's just the first move. That's just the first place that Elisha lands. Hey, I'm in the new covenant. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Shout now.
Yeah.
Gilgal should be the place where our excess baggage starts falling off. We start losing stuff.
That's right.
And if you stay here long enough in this Gilgal experience, you'll start packing on. And God knows that. So He don't want you to hang out here. He wants you to move.
Yes, amen.
Because how many knows that when you start homesteading, you start hoarding?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in the mail. Because you start buying shoes because you got a closet. We start buying more clothes and we start accumulating.
Come on.
God says, I don't want you to hang out.
No.
I want you to go. Mm-hmm. So, Christian Worship Center, we're not hanging out at Gilgal. We're just passing through.
That's right.
Because we're understanding that the closer we get to God, the more we're losing, not the more we're buying.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the natural now. Don't get nervous on me and don't start being all religious. That preacher's a bit against going buying shoes. I don't like him no more. It is a place where we realize that we go forward with God because we are no longer under condemnation.
That's right.
Woo! Amen? If you stay in Gilgal too long, You'll start putting yourself under condemnation, because anybody that gets in a rut starts getting excuses for why they're there. And you just start making excuses for you living in this lifestyle and you living in this.
Come on, brother.
Do you know why that we had to change our laws? And state of California is passing a law through legislation right now that mandates the pastors not to preach against. Not to preach against homosexuality or transgender. You understand? The state of California have already got it in their legislation for vote this fall.
Wow.
Hey, do you understand where we're at? But the reason that happened is because there were so many that were living that lifestyle that needed an excuse for it.
Yeah. Wow. Amen. That's good.
It didn't happen overnight. This is the reason our churches have accepted it, because there's so many in church that has been living in Gilgal, not going any further, but just hanging out, and they become stagnant, and they become messed up, and they become messed up in their thinking, and they started thinking, yeah, condemnation is here, I might as well accept it. No, don't ever accept that you're defeated. Because the moment you accept defeat, you'll live in defeat.
Yes, you will.
And the moment that they accepted the fact, I am this or I am that, is the moment that they accepted defeat to ever overcome it.
Come on, brother.
So let me tell you, Gilgal should be a place where the door closes on the past and we begin to mature spiritually and individually in every local body. Not just Christian Worship Center, but every local body. If we understood the power of Gilgal, the power of Gilgal is a testing place where we lose the past and regain our future.
Amen.
Amen. It was the place where he lost his yoke of oxen, but he gained the 12 stones of redemption. Oh. Hallelujah. So Gilgal is the place where many of us has been raised up in the years since this revival began. Some have found it on a limited understanding of the covenant. As a result, leaders have reproduced their in understanding or not lack of understanding to their converts.
Right.
And they taught their converts to be as powerless as they are.
That's it.
Yeah.
Amen? Because shallow preaching and teaching produces shallow converts. The church has just lived in salvation experience, and a lot of churches, that's all there is to God. A young man told me not too long ago, he said, God can save you, but that's all he can do for you. He expects you to do the rest of it yourself. And I was like, I don't know what kind of God you're serving, but that ain't my God. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve said, I am the God. I am the Lord. I am the God of
everything.
Oh, hallelujah. So we got to understand, we must through the depths, plumb the depths of Gilgal, and experience it and move on. How many's ready to move on? Past our wannabes into something that God has provided for us. How many knows that you can get such a want of what you desire, and you can get it, and when you get it, it's like, this ain't what I thought it was. Huh? I've heard some preachers, I thought I wanted to be a minister. You better think again. They all come to me and I don't think I'm called a preacher, pastor. And what I tell them? No, you ain't. If you just think it, you ain't.
I know. That's right, brother.
Because it ain't going to work for you. When the devil starts pulling at you picking at you, messing with you, messing with your family, messing with your children, messing with your, you ain't gonna, thinking ain't gonna get it. You got to know. If you know you've been called, if you know you've been chosen, if you know who you are, and you know who called you, then you'll look at the devil and say, not on my turf. Boy, you better try somebody else's. You ain't dumping your trash on my yard.
Come on, amen.
Because my yard don't, it's not dumpster. Nobody pays their dues to me to dump their trash. So don't let the devil dump it in your yard if you know who you are. The last point I want to make tonight is from Gilgal to fellowship. When we understand we need to be taught from the moment of repentance what God has store for us.
Yes.
I want these young converts that we have in this church to know what God is. I want them to know for themselves. I don't want somebody telling them. I don't, oh, I believe you called to preach, brother. You better not go on that one. Right? You better get a divine word from God.
Yeah.
Yes.
If God calls you, don't back us, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't.
But you can't go just because some hickam stick come over here and said, I believe you are called to be an evangelist. God has laid his hand on you. Now, if God's dealing with you about that and somebody gives that to you,
yes.
Yeah, but I'd still be a little hard-headed about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, God ain't against us saying, okay, God, I'm going to make sure.
Yeah.
Look at Gideon. Okay, God, if this is really you, I'm going to cut a piece of sheepskin up tonight, and I'm going to lay that sheepskin on the ground, and you better not hit the dew with that one. I want the ground to be wet, but the sheepskin's got to be dry.
Right.
Oh, that's a tough one. But isn't God tough?
Right.
Yes, he is.
Come on, we need to get tough with God. Amen? He said, God, I want to make sure this is you. Because I'm going to do what you said, but I want to make sure it's you singing. So he came out the next morning, he went and grabbed his sheepskin up, and it's dry. And the ground is wet. You all know that's God. He comes out, but he says, Lord, I still want to make sure. So tonight, I'm laying that sheepskin out again, and I want it wet,
right,
and I want the ground dry.
Guess what?
Next morning, he got up, he went out there and checked his sheepskin. Guess what? He rang that thing out. He looked at that. Oh, look at this. Look at this. This. And God said, you still doubt me, boy?
No.
Go down there to that enemy camp, and I want you to hang out there for a minute behind their house, behind their place, and I want you to just listen in on what their conversation is right now. And he went down there, and he put his ear to the building.
That's right.
Right? Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
And you'll find this in Judges.
That's right.
He said, put your ear to the building, and old Gideon didn't get there, but just a second. And somebody down there said, I had a dream last night that a barley cake come from the hill and come in here and roll down the hill and it rolled into our camp and destroyed the whole camp.
Yeah.
What do you think that means? He said, I don't think it's none other than Gideon down there on the hill. He's going to come down here and he's going to whip us. God said, what did I tell you? They already fearing you.
That's it.
He hadn't even got good wet. He's still wet behind the ears, you want to say. He's still a little young squirt. And God says, but you're going to win the battle. You got, oh, he had 10,000 with the 20. There's a bunch of thousands of men. 30,000 maybe? He started out with?
Yeah.
20,000? 27,000. He starts out with, and God says, you got too many, boys. And he says, really, Lord, that's a big army we're going up against. They got way more people than we ever thought about. How are we going to get there? What I'm talking about is relationship. Gideon still chatted with God. You understand, if you want to win, you got to have some chats
with
the Savior.
That's right.
You got to get off that Facebook chat. And that Instagram chat. And that Snapchat. And get God chat. Get the Holy Ghost chat. And you begin to listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying and stop listening to what Mother Sue has to say to you. Come on, y'all. You understand what we're doing?
It's real.
We are getting his input. We won't stay in Gilgal if we start asking God, am I right here?
Yeah.
You understand, David went down there to get the Ark of the Covenant. That was God's very presence, God's very power, God's very anointing. Everything that God had was in that Ark on the earth. David goes down there to get it, and he said, well, cart ought to work. Philistines got it to us on the cart. It ought to work. Let's just go put it back on the cart, and let's just bring it to Jerusalem. We'll get it to heaven with. It worked for them. It should work for us.
Yeah.
And they got about a mile down the road, and that thing hit a bump. And how many likes it when the Ark of God hits a bump? The Holy Ghost presence hit a bump in the road. Run over a rock, whatever. Pothole. Maybe they was in Oklahoma. But anyway, he hit a bump. And Uzzah puts out his hand and going to help the ark. You don't help God out with nothing. He don't need your help. He can get out of the mud hole by himself. He doesn't need you to help him out. He doesn't need you to run his crew. He doesn't need you to talk about how to do it, how to pull him out, how to get him going, how to get. All he needs us to do is obey him.
Right.
Trust him and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.
Woo!
And obey.
Trust and obey.
I'm through.
Come on.
But you and I must understand that Gilgal's not our camping place. Oh, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got it all. No, you don't. You still got to go to Bethel. That's where the presence of God is. How many wants to get out of Gilgal into the your first step? That's like telling a baby, make your first step, then don't walk no more because you walk. Yeah, how that worked for you. And we telling our Christian people, just enjoy Christ. Just enjoy Jesus. Yeah, you got about 10 minutes. Because the devil is not stopping just because you stop. He's going to wreak havoc of your family, of your church, of your marriage, of everything you got if you hang out in one spot.
Yes, he will.
Hey, I'm not hanging out. I'm run out running him.
Yes.
Paul said that if a man was overtaken in a fault for a reason. You don't run, let him catch up. You let him catch you while you're running. Because when you're overtaken by it, it's not your fault. You were chased. But when you stop and let him catch you, oh, it's a whole lot harder to get out of that mess. So tonight, I want, if I can leave you with anything, tonight, don't stop at the first stop.
Yeah, come on, brother.
You got the Holy Ghost. You got the presence of God. You may be baptized. If you're not baptized, you need to get there. But that's for another service. But anyway, if you are doing what you are supposed to do, run on church. Used to be a dear black sister back home. I think she's from Alabama or Georgia, one of the places. And she, Sister Brown, I think is her name. And she's, well, I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Anybody ask you what's the matter with me? Tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, by that pie. I got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life.
Yeah.
What'd she say? Just like that.
Jump
running for my life. Because anybody asks you what's the matter with me, tell them I'm saved, I'm sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and if I got God, I got Jesus on my side, and I'm not stopping, I'm running. Mm-hmm. So how many wants to run? How many wants to go to the next level? How many is glad and excited about what God is about to do in your life?
Yes.
And you're not one. The devil's not going to stop you. The enemy's not going to tie you up. The church is not going to come near you. Everybody's going to help watch you run. Amen?
Amen.
It used to be that the preachers, when they come to church, the church would fill up to watch them burn.
Right.
And now the preachers have got too holy to burn. They just up here just standing behind the pulpit like some 6 foot icicle. In the first church refrigerator. And everybody in the midst of the frozen chosen. And we have got it going on. And we're wondering why God ain't moving.
Come on.
It's because we're stuck in Gilgal.
Because
you can get stuck in a good thing. How many like to be stuck in Walmart for 3 days? Walmart's good, but I don't want to live there. I like to pass through there very quickly, but I don't want to hang out there. And so I like God's prayer. I like the Holy Ghost experience. I like salvation experience. I like the baptism experience, but I don't want to stay right there. I want to move into what's next God has for me.
Come on.
And you know what? I can just hear Elisha saying, when Elijah tells him, said, hang out here at Gilgal. He said, you ain't dead yet. And God ain't dead. I'm not.
Amen.
I'm going. I didn't start to stop. I started to finish. My wife comes back to the piano. I want to get her to give me a key of F. I'm going to sing the chorus to this song. You know why? Because I didn't start to stop.
Amen.
Sometimes people get started, but they don't finish. Brother, promise me this. You're not quitting.
No, I'm not quitting.
God heard you.
Yeah, I know it is.
And the devil heard you too.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm running, brother. I'm running.
The enemy's hurt us tonight, Brother Jeff. Promise me this. You're not quitting. Jealousy? Not quitting. Hey, I like that. You know what? God heard. He's going to see them through.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. That's a little high. Maybe drop it.
Door off the road. Don't skip the curve. Still, I'm going right on. Although the rivers I cross may be so deep, till it seems all hope is gone. Till the clouds hang low, though the thunder may roll, and still I'm pressing on. Oh, for I started out, and I'm going to finish this race. I have begun, although up the road, and don't see the curve, and still I'm going right on. Though the rivers I cross, it may be so deep, hold on, though the clouds may grow and the thunder may roll, and still I'm pressing on. Oh, for I started out, and I'm going to finish this race. I have begun, oh, though up the road and no steep curve, but still I'm going right on.
had to start it out. But it's not he who starts it. It's not he who makes it or starts it up. It's he who finishes. You can't boast of putting it on, but you can boast when you take it off. Because guess what? One of these days we're going to stand face to face with the Master. And we're going to trade our old cross. That old thing that's been getting you down, brother. You're about to trade it in. Keep on walking. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Because the enemy is not backing up. He won't give in, but neither will I. Amen. I might fall flat, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up because I've come too far to look back. There's nothing behind me that I even care about going back to.
Woo!
I'm going forward. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting Him. I'm believing in Him who saved me, who called me, who made me who I am. And it's going to get me to the next place I'm supposed to be going. So look out, Bethel. Here I come.
Woo!
Nobody's going to stop us from going to Bethel.
Come on, amen.
We got the Gilgal experience, and I'm glad for it, brother. It makes me want to shout every time I think about how good God is. And I do. I sometimes get shouted. Can't help myself sometimes. Wednesday night was one of them. I just had to stop and shout. It just got too much. So sometimes you might just have to stop and shout. And let me tell you something. Don't quit.
Amen.
When you land, run off. This church, we only just begun. We've only just started this race. The enemy is wanting to bring us down. He's wanting to cause confusion. So look out. He's going to start some stuff. Don't be nervous. Don't be frustrated. We're just going to pack it up, let's send it on, and keep on walking. Because nothing is going to stop us. We got something God has called us to do, and we're going to do it. Come on board with me. You ready? We're going to the top. Amen? We're going to watch Elijah all transferred out of here, and we're going to wind up with his coat. Amen? How many is ready for that anointing? I'm going to run out and drop back over that Jordan, and I'm going to say, hey, devil, where are you? That same thing that tried to spark you to, you're going to walk back on it, and you're going to flip that cloak over it, and you're going to say, devil, now how you like that?
Yeah.
Woo!
You know why? Because you're not quitting. You're walking on. You're going over it. You're going on past it. Because God has got our best interest in Him. And He's given us the call. Father, God, I thank you for your holy presence in this house. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that's in this place right now, God. Would you, Lord, just anoint us so forcefully in this building. God, strengthen our Gilgal people. Strengthen us, God, as we walk from this place to the next one. And God, but don't let us quit. Don't let us quit. Give us strength. Give us strength to carry on. Because the enemy, God, wants us to take less. So we're not taking the cheaper route. We're going all the way with Christ. We're going all the way with you, God. You're going to strengthen us and you're going to help us. These altars are open right now. Hallelujah. You need to come and pray. Come on. Hallelujah. There are other people. There are other people in this town that have sold out for less. There are other people in this state that have sold out for less. Less. And the devil is saying, Chris Worshipson, won't y'all take a substitute? You know what? He offered Jesus one of them too. He said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you the crown. I'll give you everything. The kingdom will be yours. What would Jesus say? Nothing. Because what he came to do is defeat the works of the enemy. That was his purpose. You know what? You're called according to that same purpose. So every time that enemy comes up to you and he's begging you to take the way, easy way out, you know what he don't want? It's defeat. But we're about to defeat him. Amen? No good, devil. No good. No deal. We're not taking a deal. No deal. How many saying no deal tonight? No deal. Devil, you ain't got a deal. Lord, we thank you for your holy presence. Come on, give God one more praise. Woo!